Good morning, Newville. If you allow me to read these beautiful and compelling words of Scripture. First of all, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. These are on the back of the devotional. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. All bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. And from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. And may God bless that reading of his word.
Thoughts and Prayer, title of our message today. How our thoughts, your thoughts, influence, and how do they affect your prayers, and do they? You know, many times we say, and I said we were at the services this week, and this shop-worn phrase that people say all the time, they say, well, our thoughts and prayers are with you, right? And really, that is an appropriate connection when we look at Scripture. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, let me read that to you. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds, Paul says. You put on the new man. How, Paul? Well, the spirit of your mind is renewed. Your thoughts. And when your thoughts change, you put on something. Paul calls it the new man. And this new man, he says, is the one created according to God's likeness. Your thoughts matter. Then famously Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your thoughts. So that, why is that important? So that you are able to understand and discern what is God's good and perfect will for you. And if you would look with me at Ephesians 4, 30 to 32, please, on the back of your devotional. Remember, before we get into that, review, we are God's co-workers. Remember, you have the mind of Christ and all that that entails. And it has been my experience and yours, I think, that day by day, the enemy gets in your head, gets in your thoughts. Because the enemy, what Shakespeare say? The enemy, the devil, can cite scripture for his purposes. The enemy knows scripture. And the enemy knows this verse. And the enemy knows that it's true. And the enemy eminently knows that if he can get inside our heads and change your thoughts and get you into a negative sinkhole of thinking, there's no renewing going on. There's no transformation going on. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. And I said, why today the shoe's really going to pinch. And these, in case you think I have this all down, I don't. But this message today comes to me with conviction. And therefore it will come to you with conviction. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And you might think, well, it doesn't matter what I'm thinking. I have a private thought world. No one knows. And I say back to you, like Jesus said in his parable, it's yeast. Jesus says it's yeast. It's not hidden. Your thoughts shout. He says it's not hidden. It's going to be shouted from the housetops. And when I have ill thoughts, others can tell. Why? Because when I have ill thoughts, I grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, who cares? Why is that important? Holy Spirit hasn't done anything for me lately anyway, right? That's what you're thinking? Why do I care if it grieves the Holy Spirit? And how do I grieve the Holy Spirit? And what does that mean? That can be something really good for you today. And I know, here's how I know it's going to be good. Because, boy, the enemy threw every possible roadblock he could possibly give me this week. He threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at me, because this is such an insidious process by the evil one. It's such an insidious thing that we overlook so many times. It's been a powerful message, and I told Teresa yesterday, we were sitting at the table, I said, I think I got such a good message to give tomorrow. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God residing and abiding in you. 2 Corinthians 5:5, Paul says, we've been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment of future hope. Paul says also the fruit of the Spirit is in you. And we, therefore, have the ability to grieve that spirit. The spirit stays with you. Spirit does not leave you. Jesus said, once you're in my hands, you're not going anywhere. I've got you, and the Father has you, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm not going to lose you. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit once you have it abiding in you, but you sure can grieve it. Okay, that's verse 30. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Verse 31 is how we grieve the Spirit. Paul says, get rid of the things, the following things that grieve him. And I want you to notice that Paul always writes sequentially. What do you mean, Tim? Well, here's just this. Paul starts with this idea or topic, and then he says, and this leads to this, and then this leads to this, and this leads to this. That's the sequential way that Paul writes. And here he does the same thing in verse 31. He tells us sequentially what happens in our thoughts that grieve the Holy Spirit. And it starts with bitterness. Get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness. You ever been around a bitter person? Does that affect you? Can you feel it? It affects me. And sometimes I'm bitter. And it affects others. We have such power as God's people because you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, powerful. But with that comes a great responsibility. And you are part of it. Like it or not, you're part of it. And how you conduct yourself and how I conduct myself matters. And beyond how I conduct myself, deeper than that, it's how I think. Get rid of all bitterness. What does bitterness lead to? Rage. Anger. Bitterness, rage, and anger. What's that lead to? Brawling and slander. What's that lead to? Every form of malice. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and these things are here. You ever greeted by that in the morning? Somebody did something to me. And I'm bitter. I'm not going to let go of that. Because if I let go of it, they get off the hook. And somehow I think that my bitterness holds them. Somehow I think my bitterness is going to hurt them and pay them back. Rage and anger. Boy, we had an experience, I tell you, this week. I told you, the Spirit takes me through the process when I'm preaching about these things. And he did this week. Because there were two people that I encountered this week at these services, different services, that arguably I had a reason to be upset at them for something that happened years ago. And every once in a while, thought comes into my head, do you remember what they did? And bitterness. And then rage and then anger. And here we go to these services this week, and at these different services, both of these men are there. And I've been praying about this topic and this issue and thoughts. You know, I got to warn you, be careful when you pray. Because it's going to be answered. And so praying about the thoughts and praying about grieving the Holy Spirit. And here they are. Okay, Tim, you've been praying about this? Watch this. I'm going to put you in close contact with both of them. Something wonderful happened. Born from praying about this, something wonderful happened. It left. Bitterness left. Rage, anger left. And I realized I didn't just free them. I didn't free them. I freed Tim Davis. No. Wrong wording. Holy Spirit freed Tim Davis. What's the antidote? If verse 31 speaks to you, and any of that's percolating in your head, and you're hanging on to that, and you're nursing it, and you're holding it close to your bosom, because I can't let that person go. They're getting off too easy. They got to pay. What's the antidote? Verse 32. Be kind and compassionate. Okay, I'll fake that. I'll be kind and compassionate. I'll muster that up. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you. Shallow kind of stuff. No, that's not what happened to me this week. Be kind and compassionate to one another. How? Who do you need to forgive? Who hurt you? Who are you bitter against? That produces rage and anger, that shackles you and puts you in bondage and grieves the Holy Spirit. How, Paul? You know, I'd like this, Paul. It sounds good. I really want to let go of that. How, Paul? Oh. Forgiving each other. I'm reminded of Ben Hur, and he's, you know, Marcella hurt him deeply, hurt his family deeply, and he was consumed with bitterness and rage and anger, and it controlled his life, and it was the reason he lived. It was his raison d'etre. That's all he wanted to do, was get back at Marcella. He has an encounter with the Lord in the movie, in the book. That's the only movie, by the way, that won 11 Academy Awards, only, ever. And he has an encounter. Ben-Hur has an encounter with Jesus. And he meets up with Marcella. And someone says to him, well, did you pay him back? Did you pay Marcella back? And Ben-Hur says, oddly, I had the opportunity, but I felt the sword taken out of my hand. This week for me, I forgave those men. And you know who was freed? That's right. I was. And Teresa was with me, and she had the same experience we talked about last week. And we both noted it at the same time. She said, Did you hear thus and so? And I said, I did. And she said, wasn't that, you know, it all left, didn't it? I said, yeah, it left. Forgiving each other. Now, why would I do that? Why do I and you forgive? Why are we commanded to forgive? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Have I wronged people? Yes. Hurt people? Yes. Has God forgiven me? Yes. How hypocritical and disingenuous of me then. Yeah, God, I want you to forgive me. I'm all about that. But certainly we're not going to forgive this. And you don't ask me to forgive them. I discovered the fifth beatitude is eminently true. When you forgive, it is mercy. And Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, because then you'll receive mercy. You see that? When you extend mercy through forgiveness, you receive mercy back. That's God's economy. You see, this is the prerequisite. Instead of trying to be kind and compassionate, that fake kind and compassionate, and all the while you're thinking thus and so about them, and you're talking about them, and you're thinking ill thoughts about them. Instead of trying that, the way you're kind and compassionate, what flows from forgiveness? Kindness and compassion. How can I possibly be unforgiving? When I have been forgiven much, I don't take my forgiveness lightly. You see, that's also yeast. Jesus talked about the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, and he says, ill thoughts, even though you think they're hidden, they're like yeast, and they permeate your entire body. Well, forgiveness is also yeast. What Teresa says, she has pity. She sees people, you have pity for people. Can you pity those that have wronged you? Because forgiveness is yeast in the positive way. And what the yeast of forgiveness does, it permeates your whole body with kindness and compassion against bitterness, anger, and rage. Now, I don't know where you want to live. I don't want to live in verse 31 because I did for too long. And it immobilizes you. And it grieves the spirit. How beautiful to forgive. What comes back to you? Jesus, again, forgive us in the same way we forgive others. How can you go to your brother and tell them and the one that's wronged you, I'm going to help you get that speck out of your eye, when the beam in your eye precedes you into the room? Oh, I don't have any beams in my eye, Tim. You see, that's the problem if you think that way. That's just the problem. Forgiving each other. Well, but you don't understand what they did to me. If you really knew, then you wouldn't ask me. And God, you know, God knows too, so he can't possibly expect me to forgive that. First Thessalonians 5:19. No, I'm sorry. 5:15 following. It's on the back of your devotional. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue. How are you doing with this next one? Always pursue what is good for one another. Teresa was talking about that. Honey, why don't you just get up here and finish this message? Because I quote you so much. Last night, by the fire, she says, wouldn't it be great to live in a world and in a society where everybody looked out for each other? Where everybody was watching your back. You're watching their back. I'm watching yours. And that's what Paul says here. Pursue, not just agree with it, not just think, yeah, I think that's a good concept, Paul. No, Paul says pursue. Be proactive, go pursue what is good for one another. And then when that happens, you see, everybody wins, and for all. Here's Paul's recipe again. Look, he says, rejoice always. You are listening to someone who is so grateful. I am so grateful to God. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you are struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness and rage and anger and malice, if you're struggling with that, any of it against anybody, let me tell you how to get out of it. Verse 18 of the Thessalonian letter. Give thanks in everything. Be thankful. Be grateful. It dispels and gets rid of all bitterness. You know, those thoughts come at me, and they come at you like fiery darts. What do you do with that? Well, you rejoice, you pray, and you give thanks. You review, and you give thanks. And I say, Yeshua, the name of Jesus, Yeshua means he will save us from our sins. And I hold on to that. Because he has saved me from my sins in every sense of the word. How can I not forgive? And then verse 19, don't stifle the Spirit. This is the way to not stifle the Spirit. We live in such a negative world, such a negative society, and so many negative thoughts coming at us every single day. What should we do? Well, we rejoice, we pray, and we give thanks. Rejoice, we pray, and we give thanks. And then what's the flagship of all of this? Forgiveness. Let go of it. Forgive them and watch what happens in your life. Yeast. And to sum up, it's a hot button for me. I think you can tell that. I speak of what I know. Ill thoughts born from unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit. That's A. B, the Holy Spirit is a personality. Well, how do you do? If the Holy Spirit is a personality, and it is, or the triune God, how do you do when you're around a bitter person? Does it grieve you? See, we're co-workers with God. And as such, if you're shackled to a worker that is bitter, and they're not pulling their weight, and they're not doing the job correctly, see, you're a co-worker with them, you're dragged down too, aren't you? You're hooked to them, you're yoked with them, they're my co-worker, they're not doing their job, but they are my co-worker. We're co-workers of God. And the Holy Spirit, as a personality, is grieved, like we are grieved, when you're with an unforgiving, bitter person. It drags you down, doesn't it? Been around someone who's negative all the time? Yeah, but Tim, you don't know. Yes, I do. And since the Holy Spirit is a personality, you either support the Holy Spirit's activity on earth or you hinder it. And like Drew said to Lewis, I don't want any part of it. And Lewis says back, you are part of it. And I say that to you. You might say to me, Tim, I don't want any part of this. And I say you are part of it, because as a person, man or woman of God, you are doing one of those two things to the Holy Spirit. You're either supporting it or you're grieving it. There's no middle ground. Well, you can say, I pray and nothing happens. Or I read scripture and nothing happens. I find scripture and praying, actually, Tim, honestly, I find it boring and irrelevant because I'm not seeing results. Well, let me say back to you. No one has encountered a living God and walked away saying it's boring and irrelevant. If you're praying and your scripture reading is boring and irrelevant, you're not encountering the Spirit of God. You're not encountering the living God. And the reason you're not encountering the living God is because you've stifled and you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit interprets scripture for us. If you're reading scripture and it is just words on a page and it's not lighting you up, it's because the Holy Spirit is not interpreting it for you. And the reason is, the only reason that can be, is that you've grieved that Spirit through your unforgiveness and your bitterness and your rage and your anger. If you pray and nothing happens, again, it is because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because Paul says to us, listen to this. Paul says to us in Romans, the 8th chapter, which I quoted when I prayed this morning. He says, in the same way, the Spirit comes along to help us in our weakness. What weakness, Paul? I don't have any weakness. And Paul says, yes, you do. Here's your weakness of all of God's people. You don't know how to pray. And you don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit, Paul says, the Spirit comes along and intercedes for us. Intercedes for you and intercedes for you. What? Yes. He intercedes. If you want to pray for somebody, we have prayer requests. You want to pray for them effectively, you let the Spirit pray for them through you. And then the Spirit also prays for you, the prayer. Well, I don't see that happening. I pray and nothing happens. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. I pray completely different than I used to the month ago. Completely. You know, Jesus didn't pray at God. He didn't even pray to God. He prayed with God. Wow. And as the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, when the Holy Spirit, I'm trailing my coat here because I'm getting ahead of the topic, but I need you to understand this. And God's people, plug in. This is earth-shattering. When you have the living Spirit of God in you, you don't pray to God. You don't pray at God. You pray with him. The Spirit in you prays with, because Paul says, and he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You want effectual prayer? You want it to happen? Pray with God. Get caught up in it. Let the Spirit inside of you pray. And the reason it's not happening, Paul says, is you've grieved the Spirit. You've stifled it with bitterness, rage, anger, all born from unforgiveness. Tracking? You don't need to report back to me or anything. However, try it on. Let go of it. Let go. Forgive. Let him go. Forgive. You've been forgiven. How hypocritical that you're not going to forgive. One of the men that I encountered this past few days, arguably, was not the proximal cause, but we believe it was in the chain of cause of Timmy's death. And we both did, almost simultaneously. What a gift. Let's pray. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Amen.